Hello and welcome to Wednesday, September 10th edition of Juneau Afternoon on your local radio station, KTOO News. I'm Joan Pardis. We've got a fun show. We'll hear about some upcoming cooking classes, including Indian cooking and pickling. We'll also hear about the annual kayak sale of Above and Beyond Alaska's Goods. We'll learn about a dance classes and a wild dance party going on this weekend, and then we'll hear about the Northern Lights Children's Theater and what's going on. They're back, and they're ready to have auditions and start their fall show. All that and more. Stay tuned. Next up, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The state of Alaska is proposing changes in the delivery of voter information to Alaska Native people whose first language is Yupik or Gwich'in. KYUK's Daisha Eaton reports.
The state is offering the changes after a federal judge issued a decision in a voting rights lawsuit last week. U.S. District Judge Sharon Gleason ordered the state to better help voters who speak Yupik and Gwich'in understand their ballots. Elizabeth Bacalar is the lead attorney for the state on the case. She says that the state is focused on three areas.
That voters need better information ahead of the election that language assistance is available, that outreach workers need to be better prepared to provide language assistance to voters, especially prior to Election Day, and to better address certain dialectical differences.
Bacalar explains the state is preparing different versions of ballot language to send to tribal councils and outreach workers to reflect different dialects. Oscar Alexi teaches Central Yupik in Bethel. He's also worked on Yupik translations of ballot materials for the state. He says that most bureaucratic language used to explain ballot measures and other choices on ballots simply does not exist in Yupik. Alexi says the best situation would be to have translators from each community reading the ballot to Yupik-speaking voters.
We translated the material where it could be read to voters. And hopefully, you know, we'd have people at the polling places that can read or they'd follow along.
The state already provides that service and will be doing more to promote its availability under the plan. The plaintiffs have until Wednesday to respond to the plan. Judge Gleason will issue an order telling the state what they need to do. In Bethel, I'm Daisha Eaton.
A group of Navajo voters have filed grievances with the Navajo Nation Office of Hearing and Appeals involving the tribe's presidential election. Primaries were held in August. A handful of voters who filed claims Friday say at least one of the candidates cannot fluently speak Navajo, a qualification for president. Sarah Jane White filed a complaint.
This is nothing about personal attack. I'm going to make that clear. This is about a leader. We need a leader that's fluent in Navajo.
White, who's fluent in Navajo, says the language connects culture, tradition, and spirituality. She says it's hard for those who don't speak it to relate, including her own children. According to the Office of Hearing and Appeals, the 17 candidates who ran were certified by the election board. Only those running for office can grieve about a person's qualifications, and there's no fluency test. The grievances are likely to be dismissed. Percy Deal also filed a complaint citing the language issue.
We recognize that our chances is small. You see, that's another area of unfairness among the Navajo voters, is that only certain people are given an opportunity to grieve a violation of the election law. I'm pretty sure that if the appeals office were to dismiss our complaint, at least some attention was brought to the issue.
The office has 5 days to respond. The next option for voters is to file with the tribe's high court. The general election will be held in November. The United National Indian Tribal Youth Organization, or UNITY, is remembering Native youth today on World Suicide Prevention Day with a national moment of silence. UNITY Director Mary Kim Titla says they're encouraging people to offer a prayer, burn sage, or light a candle. She says young Native people have high suicide rates and face many hardships.
Domestic violence, you know, high dropout rate, substance abuse, teen pregnancy, these are issues that overwhelm them. Many of them feel hopeless. Many of them don't know where to turn for help.
Resources include national and tribal helplines. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Supported by the National Indian Education Association, an inclusive Native organization representing Native students, educators, families, communities, and tribes. Membership registration available at NIEA.org.
Our democracy is a government of the people, for the people. Let's keep it that way. Vote on November 4th. Get registered, cast your vote. It's that simple. More information at nativenews.net. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kawanak Broadcast Corporation.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello and welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. It's Wednesday, September 10th. It's 3.05 p.m. in Alaska's capital city. I'm Joan Pardis. I'm sitting in on Wednesday. Scott Burden is the producer and engineer of this show today, and our weather is mostly cloudy. Chance of rain mainly in the afternoon. Highs around 57. Tonight, rain. Lows around 46. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. And Thursday, rain likely. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain. Lows around 47. That was chance of rain, not chance of, like, sun rays. It kind of sounded like rays, but it's chance of rain. Our first guests today are Annie Humphreys and Emma Chavla. They are both here representing Shea Alaska Cooking School, which is Annie's endeavor, Annie's business, and Emma is a chef of an upcoming Indian cooking class. So welcome, ladies, to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start with the beginning. Tell me a little bit about Shea Alaska Cooking School. Where is it located? How long has it been around? And what kind of services do you provide?
We are located in the Nugget Mall Annex across from Lyle's. We've been in operation for about 10 years, and we purchased it from Lorraine Durr about 2.5 years ago.
That sounds great. And you have two classes coming up quick, like tomorrow and Saturday, and then you have a host of other classes coming up as well. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's talk about tomorrow. It's an authentic Indian cooking class and dinner. It's from 5:30 to 7. The cost is $50 per participant. They already have 12 people registered. They could take up to 20, I think. Is that...
Oh, sure. We could take a lot more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Up to 20, yeah.
So, Emma, tell us what people will be learning tomorrow. What will the experience be like?
Okay. Well, we're going to start with onion pakoras, which is a very popular dish back home. It's like onion fritters, so it's nice and spicy. And then that's followed by nice curry, which is a butter chicken masala, which is a very authentic curry. And followed by naan bread. And also we're going to do a chutney, a nice spicy green chutney to go with some samosas, which is filo pastry filled with spicy potatoes.
Oh, wow, that sounds great. And everybody who goes, the 12 people that are registered and the other people who might show up, they're going to learn how to do it?
Yes.
And then they're going...
And they're going to try the food, so we'll cook it, and they can all have dinner with us.
That sounds great. So... is most of this food going to be super spicy, or is it going to be in the range of not so spicy?
No, it's going to be medium to spicy. You can always add more chili peppers and, you know, make it hot, but we're going to keep it mild to medium.
So you could go from there.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. And that's 5:30 tomorrow out at the annex across at the Nugget Mall Annex.
Correct.
And then on Saturday, there's another class. What's that class on Saturday?
Oh, we're having a canning class, and we're making dill pickles.
Sounds great. I have no idea how to do that. You're probably not going to tell us exactly how to do it.
No.
But you want to give us the broad strokes?
Well, we're going to learn basic canning, and then I have they'll receive a book that has many recipes in it, sweet pickles, sweet relish, pickling from all over around the world. And this dill pickle recipe is from my oldest sister. And I've perfected it, so we make them pretty spicy.
Sounds great.
Yes, it's very fun, and we have room in our class. We will be doing up a case of cucumbers, which makes two cases. And then if anyone else wants to, we have a couple more cases we're going to do and share them.
That sounds great. That sounds great. So if people are listening right now and they say, hey, I want to do this, what do? How do they get a hold of you?
They can contact me at 723-8801. Or you can reach me at Annie A-N-N-I-E, at shayalaska.com.
Sounds great. And then there's also these coming up. You have some culinary art classes and also a Cooking Healthy for Cancer Patient class coming up.
Yes, we're putting together all the information for all three of those classes. We'll be doing, they are a certified class, so you receive a certification through the National Restaurant Association. So it's an official culinary arts class. One will be for prep cooks and dishwashers, so it's the back of the house. You'll be learning everything from food safety, work safety, food storage, and then we'll do knife classes. And then we're going to do the front of the house, which would be everything from food handling. It will be wait staff, bartenders, greeters, servers, and bussers. Just proper service, how to set an official serving table. And there'll be a lot of other subjects also, which will be communication skills, hygiene. There's just a lot to it.
So this is great. So this sounds like a perfect class for somebody who wants to get into the restaurant business, or maybe a restaurant owner would call you and say, hey, can you train all my staff?
Yes.
Or something along those lines.
It's going to be great for the owners of the restaurants and the chefs, because they're too busy to train this this type of information to their employees, and it's really important to know that.
That's true. So how can people get a hold of you one more time?
Same. Annie, A-N-N-I-E, at shayalaska.com.
Okay. And then the Cooking Healthy for Cancer Patients, you want to talk a little bit about that? That's going to come up this winter.
I'm just putting this together, and so I will be talking with our new cancer business that's here. And it's just really in the beginning right now, so I'm very excited about being able to offer that.
That sounds great. Now, before we went on the air, we were chatting, and you said that if it goes under the umbrella of cooking, you've got a class for it, something along the lines.
That's
so if somebody
right.
really has, I've always wanted to learn whatever it is,
well, we do,
they should give you a buzz.
Yes, we do birthday parties. We do excuse for a party. If you're turning 16 and you want to learn how to cook and you invite your friends, we're wide open to anything. I pretty much say if you can think it, we can do it.
That sounds great. Okay, before I let you go, I want to go back to Emma, who's teaching the Indian class tomorrow. So just one tip for somebody who wants to learn how to cook some really great Indian food. If you have one or two, what do you think, one of the secrets you're willing to give away on the air?
Oh, well, if you love curry, then you should come.
Okay.
So it's warm, comfort food. And it's a curry is something that, you know, even if you cook it in bulk, you put it in your fridge, you can always keep it and eat it. And the more if you eat it after 2-3 days, you know, the flavors are better because we use some really good spices and all the spices are fresh.
And is it hard to get spices, the spices
no.
that you need here?
No, you do get the spices available here. And what I'm going to also teach tomorrow is, in case you don't, what are the substitutes that you can use, but you still have the flavors intact? So you don't need to go out of the way and shop for things. You can cook from what you have.
All right. That sounds great. All right. So there you have it. Jay Alaska Cooking School, tomorrow night, Authentic Indian Cooking with Emma Chavla from 5:30 to 7. And then canning, making dill pickles, September 13th. And your email or your phone number one last time?
723-8801.
Okay, great. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be chatting with Becky James about their kayak scale at Above and Beyond Alaska. Thanks. We'll be right back.
I like the way you cook, the whole production and how you serve it up. The whole seduction of the color and the smell. The presentation, the texture on the tongue. I get impatient, it takes a little more, little more, little more, a little more. I like you watching good. I like the motion of your side to side. The locomotion of your up and down. Got me moving to every little lick. I watch you stir a little more, little more, little more, little more.
you step by step. I like the way you talk. You're in the kitchen stirring up the sauce. You reminisce and you move across the floor. You know I'm watching you read between the lines. You let me watch a little more, little more, little more. I like the way you cook, the whole production and how you serve it up. The whole seduction, the color and the smell. The presentation, the texture on the tongue. I get impatient, it takes a little more, a little more, a little more. I want some more, a little more, a little more. Please more, a little more, a little more. Give me more, a little more.
On the next Juno World Affairs Council presentation, Thai activist Sulok Sivaraksa speaks about unrest in Southeast Asia and his experience as a political prisoner.
I was arrested in absentia. Many of my students were killed, were tortured, were murdered by the Thai military.
Thursday at 7 p.m. on KTOO and on demand at 360north.org.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's 3:16 p.m. We're going to go to Writer's Almanac. We'll be right back. Listen up.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 10th of September, 2014. It's the birthday of the poet H.D. Hilda Doolittle, born Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 1886. And it's the birthday of the novelist Hannah Webster Foster, born Salisbury, Massachusetts, in 1758, author of an epistolary novel called The Coquette, or The History of Eliza Wharton, came out in 1797. It was a huge success, one of the best-selling novels of 18th-century America. And it was based heavily on the true story of Elizabeth Whitman, a beautiful minister's daughter from a well-known family who became pregnant out of wedlock and died after giving birth to a stillborn child at a roadside tavern. The man who supposedly impregnated her was Pierpont Edwards, the son of the famous preacher and theologian Jonathan Edwards, who started the Great Awakening movement, delivered the famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was a great piece of gossip all across New England, and Hannah Webster Foster capitalized on the gossip by turning it into a novel. It's the birthday of the original Rin Tin Tin, the German shepherd dog, born in Lorraine, France, 1918, who starred in 23 movies for Warner Brothers, starting with Where the North Begins in 1923, and also starred in a radio program, The Wonder Dog, in which he did his own barking and did other sound effects. It's the birthday of the poet Mary Oliver, born Maple Heights, Ohio, 1935, dropped out of college when she was just a teenager, made a pilgrimage to Edna St. Vincent Millay's estate, upstate New York. Millay had been dead for several years, but her sister Norma still lived there. Norma and Mary Oliver hit it off, and Mary Oliver lived on the estate for several years, and it was there that she met Molly Malone Cook, who'd come to pay a visit to Millay. Oliver and Cook fell in love. They moved to Provincetown, Massachusetts. Cook became Oliver's literary agent, and sometimes she impersonated Mary Oliver for phone interviews because she hated talking to the press. They were together for more than 40 years, and after Cook died in 2005, Mary Oliver published Thirst, a collection of poems about her grief. Here's a poem for today by Peter Sears, Night Fishing. The water is a glaze like loneliness at ease with itself. I cast and close my eyes for the whir out across the water, the line striking the surface and sinking. I like waiting for it to settle on the bottom, then jig it up a little. I imagine the lure in utter dark. I play it lightly, fish rise. Just shy of the surface, they play their glints off the moon on the water. I see, too, my own loneliness. It's not too big, and it breathes easily. Soon it may pretend it's rain. Rain blurs the water. There is nothing wrong with rain. I take a deep breath and cast and cast. Night Fishing by Peter Sears, from Small Talk, published by Lynx House Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from Valley Medical Care, offering family health care in Juneau since 1982. Valley Medical Care, a proud sponsor of Public Radio in Juneau. Information at 586-2434.
Hello and welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. It's 3:22 p.m. Scott Burden is the producer and engineer of the show today. I am Joan Pardis. I'm sitting in on Wednesday. And Becky James is here of Above and Beyond Alaska, and she's here to talk about their annual kayak sale. Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. So most people are familiar with your organization, your business, but yeah, can you tell us a little bit about Above and Beyond Alaska?
Sure. So Above and Beyond Alaska, we've been in business since 2002, and we are a guiding outfit. In Juneau, we do a variety of day, overnight trips, kayak camping, glacier trekking, and mountaineering style trips. And then we do kayak classes throughout the summertime. Usually once a month we do beginner to intermediate advanced classes for locals. And we also run the kayak rental shop in Ock Bay Harbor, and that's been around a long time through different owners. And then we purchased that in 2007 and have been running that since then. And that's a nice part of our business because it kind of hits a local market. And we're down in Ock Bay, and we rent kayaks to all over Southeast Alaska. People take our boats for overnight trips. So. And each year, because of that, we have a fleet of boats, and we like to turn them over usually every 3 years just to keep our fleet fresh and new. And so we have an annual kayak sale, and it's always a fun event, too, for us because we love to kind of get together, and it's the end of the year. And so we sell used tandem boats, singles, paddle accessories. We have deals on new retail gear. We had our kayak shop. So that is all happening on Saturday, this coming Saturday, from 10 to 2. Usually there's a huge turnout right first thing in the morning. Everyone wants to get their first dibs on the boats coming down. So, and they are a variety of different boats that we have. We carry vendors from Wilderness Systems to Necky to Current Design. So lots of different choices. And they're plastic kayaks that we sell. And they're singles and doubles. And
okay. And so that sale is out at the Ock Bay Harbor.
Yes, that's Ock Bay. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's September 13th, a Saturday, from 10 to 2.
Great.
And that will be kind of our last wrap-up for the season. We're renting kayaks through the end of the month, so until about September 24th, and then we will be closed for the year.
Okay. How many boats do you think you're...
We're going to sell. We typically sell anywhere from 8 to 12 kayaks. So each year, and we have a much larger inventory, but we kind of, that's kind of our number that we usually go for is about 8 to 12. And I'm thinking, let me see, I have the list here. I think we have, of those, about 6 or 7 doubles, and then the rest are singles. And doubles are very popular just because, obviously, they fit two people, and a lot of locals like to buy kayaks to have at their house throughout the summertime and have their family and friends come up and use their boats. So it's a nice opportunity to get discounts on some used gear.
That sounds great. And then as far as your guiding outfit, are you wrapped up for the season? Do you do any winter?
You know, we just go through the end of September. So we typically start May through September, and we're wrapping that up as well. We've got a couple trips we're still doing. But, yep, that will be pretty much everything's going to be wrapped up toward the end of September.
Okay. So. And then just one last question. So the annual kayak sale this Saturday out at the Auk Bay Harbor by the kayak shop. That sounds great. So you've been in business for over a decade now, almost 12 years.
Yeah.
So you want to – how has it been? I mean, 12 years is a long time.
Yeah. You know, we definitely – you know, we had a slow start to begin with, and but we've grown since, and it's been amazing to see just our different trips offerings grow, and of course our staff, you know, increasing our staff every year. So it's been really successful for us. It definitely took time to grow, and now we're at a point where we're able to employ a steady base of people, and most of our employees are from around Juneau, and it's been great, and we love what we do because we love to be outside and we love to do adventures that are active, and you know, being able to kayak into all the different cool areas around Juneau. You've got Tracy Arm, and we now do guided trips out at Pack Creek Brown Bear Sanctuary. So we also do rentals out there. So we have kayak rentals at Windfall Island, so locals can charter their own flight, fly out, rent kayaks from us, and then paddle into Pack Creek and all around Admiralty. And that's during the summertime as well.
That sounds great. Wonderful. So you do everything from day trips to multi-day trips to kayak rentals to all different places.
Exactly.
And then I didn't know that you own the kayak shop at Off Bay Harbor.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful.
So there's lots of different price ranges for people, too. So if they kind of run a budget, they can just rent some boats and go paddle around close to Juneau. Or if they're wanting a guided trip, they can budget in the cost for that.
Okay. All right. And so that's this Saturday, 10 to 2. And then I'm sure people could find out more information at the website as well.
Yeah.
Right?
We have two websites, but our kayak rental shop website is junokayak.com. And if you click on that, that actually has all the boats that we're going to be selling and kind of the whole list of everything. And we're going to be selling some used backpacks and rain gear because we use that in our normal outfitting for our guided trips. So some other types of accessories will be available.
That sounds great. Okay. That's this Saturday, 10 to 2 at Auk Bay Harbor. Thanks for joining.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Floats in a line between the two. Whoa, whoa. I lost my sense of time and I left the land behind. I don't care which is old or which is new. Life has been this way since the dawn of the first day. Now, no matter what we play or how we roam, we're passing through this place, each at a different pace. This world is just a journey, it's not our home. Can I own the earth? Can I count how much it's worth? Can I keep the riches that you earn? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Remember you're a guest and just forget about all the rest. It's time to look and listen, love and try to learn.
On a rolling sea, Jesus speaks to me.
Jesus speaks to me.
On a rolling sea, when she rolls.
When she rolls, she rolls. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
On a rolling sea, on a rolling sea when she rolls. On a rolling sea, Jesus speaks to me. On a rolling sea when she rolls.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
On a rolling sea, Jesus speaks to me.
Not on the sea,
on a rolling sea when she rolls.
Yeah, down
on a rolling sea when she rolls. On the rolling sea when she rolls.
Every hour in the United States, one person dies from mouth cancer. Tobacco use has been linked to mouth cancer as well as tooth decay and tooth loss. Quitting tobacco will improve the health and appearance of your mouth, gums, and teeth. Quit tobacco today and have something to smile about. Brought to you by the Partnership for a Tobacco-Free Southeast, SEARCH, and Alaska's Tobacco Quitline. You can quit. We can help. 1-800-784-8669.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon in Alaska's capital city. It's a live radio show. Scott Burden is at the board. He is a producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Partis sitting in on this Wednesday. And our next guest is Daniel Martin. Most people know him as the owner of Wild Oven. But he is here wearing a different type of hat or maybe a different type of shoes today. He is here to talk about the Blues Borealis Weekend, the Alaska Blues Fusion Adventure that starts this Friday night. So, Daniel, tell us, what is going on this weekend?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff going on, and if you want to find all the details, you can find it on Facebook, Blues Borealis, but here's the lineup. On Friday, there's an open house blues social at Rockwell. That's in the restaurant, so we're just going to clear out some of the floor, play some music, have some dancing. Casual, it's free, it's all ages. You can kind of come see what this is all about. That's going to kick off around 9:30. This Friday. So then on Saturday, we're rolling into some workshop lessons in the Hangar Ballroom. Those are going to be on Saturday and Sunday. We can learn all kinds of stuff about blues dancing. And the complete schedule, you know, check it out on Facebook. And then Saturday night is the big party. We got Kari and the Wrist Rockets doing a sort of a special, little more bluesier, a little more sultry kind of a set, plus, you know, their classic tunes. So we got the best band in Juneau playing on Saturday night at the Hangar Ballroom. That's going to kick off at 9, and that's open to everyone. You know, whether or not you came to the classes, whether or not you want to do what we're doing, partner dancing, doesn't matter. It's just a dance party. So anybody who wants to dance is welcome, or just to sit and hang out and watch and listen to the music. So that's the big party on Saturday, and then we've got more lessons on Sunday.
Right. So it's the Blues Borealis, and the focus of the weekend, from what I'm gathering, is that you've got a guest instructor coming up whose name is Justin Riley, and it's a weekend of music and dancing.
Exactly.
And that you learn how to dance with a partner to the blues. Is that correct? Is there like a history of partner dancing with the blues or
well,
something?
Well, there actually is. Yeah, there's actually a rich history, which is little known to people. Little known to people. People think of swing dancing, of salsa, of tango, but there actually is an old history going back into the late 1900s, or late 1800s, sorry, in the earliest days that we have any record of blues music being produced. And there was partner dances that were being done. And so these were being done by people who were, you know, second generation, maybe first generation freed slaves. You know, very very much its own culture separate from the larger white culture. So there's a lot of African influence in this approach to dancing, in the body movement, in the use of your hips, and a little more, just a lot more like use of different parts of your body in traditional blues dancing. And so what we're teaching, what I teach in Juno, and what Justin Riley, our guest instructor, teaches, is very much based in the traditional blues, but not limited to it. So we actually dance to a wider range of music, and we employ sort of the attitude and the technique and maybe the style of blues, of traditional blues dancing, to dance to a whole lot more music. It's pretty cool. It's really rocked my world.
Sounds great. So, like, I'm just going to talk about some of the titles of the classes so people can maybe just wrap their head around it. So, at 12 noon, Baptism by Fire, Fresh Off the Boat and Into the Blues. 1:45 is Exploring Open Connection. 3 o'clock is You Spin Me Right Around, Baby Right Around, The World of Turns. Everyone could use a little help. Well, I could use some help with that. And then on Sunday is a 1 o'clock intro to Micro Blues, Subtle, Simple, and Hot. 2:15, Connection, You, Your Partner, and the Music. And 3:30, Welcome to Switch, The Art of Role, Fluid Partner Dancing. So what's the deal? Is there, like, if you buy all of this, how do you sign up for this?
Yeah, well, okay, I'm glad you asked that. Yeah, all the lessons are drop-in friendly and beginner-friendly. So if you just want to come and drop in, you can pay at the door. If you want to get a weekend pass, you can come on Friday to the Rockwell Open House and get a weekend pass then and get a little discount and pay for all 6 lessons. Or I have an online store, alaskabluesfusion.weebly.com. Did I get that right? I think so. So you can check that out and just go ahead and, like, have your pass and show up, and we'll just be like, all right, right this way.
Sounds great. And if you have any questions, you could call at 209-0991.
That's right.
Okay, couple of questions.
Yeah.
Do you need a partner to show up?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. It's a big social dancing is about socializing, and so you meet new people in the lessons. You're going to be switching partners anyway. So if you come with somebody, that's great. You're welcome to come with somebody, but switching partners, dancing with different people, it's a great way to learn. It's a great way to meet new people. And same for the social dances on Friday and on Saturday. It's totally cool just to show up.
All right. And it sounds like a great way to kick off the fall. It's getting chilly outside.
And I checked the weather forecast, and I got to say, it's looking like some pretty good dancing weather, if you know what I'm saying. So there you go. Yeah.
Okay. So once again, if you want to find out more, you can check it out on Facebook, Alaska Blues Borealis.
Well, Blues Borealis is the quickest way to get it. You just search Blues Borealis and you'll find it.
And you will find many different ways to get your information. Yeah. But one last question. You said you teach. So we want to talk a little bit about that. You teach?
Sure, I do. I teach and I put on smaller events that don't involve guest instructors and live music and all of that. And I want to do more and more big events, too. I'm doing that. I've been doing it kind of sporadically, but I just lined up booking the canvas. There's actually, in October, on Mondays from 7 to 9, there's going to be a 4-week series of blues dance lessons taught by me at the canvas. You can show up at the first one and sign up for all 4, that kind of thing. Those are going to be more of like a progressive thing. So we can take, you show up this weekend, learn a bunch of stuff from Justin Riley, and then we can keep building and growing. Growing with that at the canvas.
Or pick and choose, do what you can.
Or pick and choose. Yeah, pick and choose, do what you can.
For the canvas class, you sign up at the canvas, but you can follow it all on Facebook.
You can follow it all on Facebook. My Facebook page that I do dancing stuff generally is Alaska Blues Fusion. So if you find Alaska Blues Fusion, like the page, keep an eye on that, and that's where I will post updates and such.
Sounds great. One last thing. So there's a free lesson in dance at UIS, the Rec Center, 6 to 8, and that's Saturday, September 13th.
That's right.
Dancing to Electronica, a how-to guide, and that's open to everyone, not just
That's right.
UAS
it's open to everybody,
students.
UAS, non-UAS, and that is free, and that's going to be a fun lesson. That's sort of the cutting edge of where progressive partner dancing down south is going, dancing to more and more sort of experimental and creative music. That said, the bulk of the workshops, the bulk of the classes and the music you'll be hearing at the dances is mostly going to be more traditionally oriented, for
right.
sure.
To blues. Okay, so if you're just joining us, that's Daniel Martin of Wild Oven. So he's baker by day, dancer by night.
That's right. And well, dancer by day, too. But,
oh, yeah. Dancing around, huh?
Exactly.
Dancing and baking. It sounds like a good way. Oh, yeah, I could see it now. Cranking the blues, having a grand old time.
That's absolutely right. Wild Oven Bread is 100% fueled by dancing. That's what people often don't realize, is that we dance all day long. So
sounds like the way to go.
That's how we do it.
That sounds great. All right, so check it out on Facebook. Thanks for joining us. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This is Bird Note. In September, a river of raptors flows through Veracruz State in eastern Mexico. In his book, Living on the Wind, Scott Wiedensahl describes counting the birds there as they circle in kettles on columns of rising warm air, and then drift steadily south. Nothing in a lifetime of birdwatching had prepared me for this spectacle. The kettles grew to almost frightening proportions, 20 or 30,000 hawks in each one. From 2 to 3 o'clock, we counted 126,516 broad-winged hawks, nearly 46,000 of them in one 10-minute period. The next hour, there were even more, along with nearly 11,000 turkey vultures. A steady stream of kestrels was moving low along the horizon, passing at a rate of 5 per minute, their wings flashing in the sun like a thin reflection off the distant gulf. And so it went for hours. From our hot, dusty rooftop in Cardell, we'd counted more than 435,000 raptors. As our sense of numbed disbelief gave way to comprehension, we realized we'd witnessed, by far, the heaviest hawk migration ever recorded anywhere in the world. Since that day in 1992, the record has been far eclipsed. Some days more than a million birds have been counted passing through the narrow, vulnerable corridor of Veracruz. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation. Find a link to Wiedensahl's book at birdnote.org.
25th annual Juno Barn Dance season kicks off this Saturday, September 13th, 7:30 to 11 p.m. at St. Anne's Parish Hall downtown. Help celebrate a quarter century of this community tradition with a night of music and dancing to lively French-Canadian tunes by the Taku Gales. Tom Paul will teach and call contra and square dances for all abilities. As always, you don't need experience or a partner. Discounts for students and seniors, free for SOG and JVs, sponsored by the Juno International Folk Dancers. Barn Dance, Saturday.
Hello, and welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Scott Brennan is at the board. He is the producer and engineer of the show. I am the talking head, Joan Pardis, and we are here with our last guest of today's show, September 10th edition of Juno Afternoon on KTOO News. And we have Julie Copins and Elsie Copins here in our studio to talk about Northern Lights Junior Theater fall production. They're doing The Christmas Doll. And Northern Lights Junior Theater, while it's an icon of the Juno theatrical community, it has been on a hiatus. So, Julie, you want to talk? Julie's the vocal director of The Christmas Doll, and she's also on the board of Northern Lights Junior Theater. You want to talk about a little bit about the background of the theater and about this new comeback production?
Sure. Well, this is the same company that brought such great productions to Juno as Peter Pan, The Sound of Music, you may remember from a few years ago. It's been on break for a couple of years, some shifting of staff, some kids growing out of the program and so on, and we're coming back. And this is actually my first production that I've been involved with this company, and already I've been so impressed by the director, Barb Mayer, who's the drama director at Thunder Mountain. She's going to be staging the show. Shelley Wright is doing all the organizational stuff, and she's a dynamo. We have a fantastic choreographer, Janice Hurley, who many people know for her great movement work that she does in town. So it's really kind of a dream team putting on the show, and it's a piece that I've wanted to do for a long time, has some great seasonal spirit and adventure and warmth and music. I think it'll be a really fun project for a lot of families to get involved in.
Okay, that sounds great. So it's the Christmas Doll, mm-hmm. and the performances are going to be the Thanksgiving weekend at Thunder Mountain High School, and auditions are coming up.
Coming up really soon. So, and people might want to get in touch with us for details, and the best way to do that is to like our Facebook page, which is NLJ Theater on Facebook, or you can drop us an email at that same same prefix at gmail.com. But basically, there are two events that you need to come to participate. We have a Friday night family orientation, also at Thunder Mountain, starting at 6:30 on Friday the 19th. And that's where parents will get a chance to get to meet all of us. We'll talk about the show, what's involved. We'll outline the rehearsal schedule, which we're trying to keep light enough so that kids who are already really busy and doing lots of things can still participate. But we want it to also be something that kids really commit to and put their whole heart into, so we get an excellent show. The actual auditions are going to be on Saturday the 20th at Thunder Mountain, and that's going to be a really fun day. I know the word audition is a little intimidating, but basically it's a day to play. We want to see how you play with other actors your age. And these are kids from ages 8 to 18, by the way, that we are opening up the casting to. We're going to be singing in groups, playing some movement games, trying out some excerpts from the script. And by the end of the day, I think we'll be able to put together a really strong cast for the show, and we start rehearsals the very next day. So we'll just dive in from there.
Right. And everybody who auditions for the play, it's just where
you'll be involved.
Right.
Yeah.
Just where you fit on this in the production.
Right.
Okay. So Elsie's here. Elsie's 9. She goes to Montessori Borealis, and I know her. Hi, Elsie. You want to talk a little bit about the play? Do you know the play?
Yes, I've read the book by Elvira
Woodruff. Elvira Woodruff.
And it's really fun to read, and I even made a tear stain on page 11.
Is it sad?
It's sad at the beginning, but then it gets really warm at the end.
That's great. So you had your picture in the paper. You were dressed up as an orphan on Friday, the last first Friday, how's that for a term? But last first Friday, you were doing some kind of introduction to this production at the Dollhouse, right? And you had your picture, you were kind of in costume. You want to talk a little bit about your experience about playing that character? I'm assuming you were portraying the lead character in the play, is that true?
Yeah. Like, I was cold out there because I was wearing, like, kind of, like, a blouse that, like, had, like, short sleeves, but I was wearing a thin shawl, which I was still cold and actually felt like an orphan.
You were getting into character.
Yeah.
Do you think, I think this is going to be your first theater production in Juneau, is that correct?
First public show, but I've done many shows before and, like, in my school and in camps.
Right. And do you have anything to say to people who, like, maybe like yourself who are listening, kids who are listening, or parents who are listening, about why they should come out and check it out?
It would be a very good experience of theater and drama, and I think it would be really fun to kids around my age. And I just hope they have a good time, and I'm pretty sure they are.
That sounds great. So, Julie, you're the vocal director, which I'm not familiar with this play at all,
It's quite new. So the chapter book's been around for a while, and it's a wonderful book for middle readers. I really recommend it. It's out of print, but I think the library is going to try to get a bunch of copies in, because our hope is we're going to bring the woman who adapted the book to a musical, Joan Cushing. I've been in touch with her. We're going to try to bring her to town. She lives in D.C. and has adapted many other shows, musicals like the 101 Dalmatians she's working on right now in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to bring her, get a whole community discussion around the book so people can become more familiar with the story. And I've kind of forgot your original question.
I'm just saying it's a musical, right?
So it's a new show, and I saw
drama
the premiere.
And
yeah, so there's music. The score is sort of rollicking. It's set in the mid 19th century in London, so it has a Dickensian feel, kind of like Oliver or A Christmas Carol. Of course, there are lots of orphans, so it's a little bit like Annie. The girls, these two orphan sisters, are having a horrible life, but they escape the orphanage and find a lost doll that becomes a key to a new life. And they find their way to a dollhouse where they meet new characters. And as Elsie said, it has a really uplifting
ending. So it's just a beautiful story. And I think for at holiday time, we love our traditions. We love the Nutcracker. We love A Christmas Carol. We love all these shows that we've seen many times. This year, we're just going to introduce something new and hope that the Juno community can embrace it and put it in their hearts and just have a gift to share with everyone in their family.
That sounds great. So once again, the ages are from 8 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
And auditions are September 20th, and the family orientation is the 19th. You want to talk a little bit about the rehearsal schedule? So if someone's listening and they say, oh, wow, my kid has soccer and
football.
And
so we know Juno kids do a lot of things already. So we're having most of our rehearsals are on Sunday afternoons at Thunder Mountain for, I think, a three-hour block from 1:30 to 4:30 on Sundays, and then Tuesday evenings from 6:30 to 8 at Thunder Mountain. Once we get closer to the production time, definitely the week of Thanksgiving, not including the holiday, but the rest of those evenings we'll be having technical rehearsals, so that's going to be a really busy week. But up till then, for most students involved in the show, the commitment should be, you know, about that 5 hours per week on those days. So hopefully that can work with a lot of family schedules.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. So you could find out more at Facebook, NLJT, Northern Lights Junior Theater at Facebook, or nljttheater@gmail.com. Actually,
right.
That's
just one T.
Right, exactly.
NLJ Theater.
Exactly. Right. At gmail.com. So, Elsie, the auditions are a week from Saturday. You're hoping for a specific role, or are you just excited to be a part of it?
I'm just excited to be a part of it, and I hope that I would be Glory or one of the other orphans.
Okay, sounds like fun. Is there a lot of singing? Is there a lot of dancing?
Yeah. So. The songs are really fun. Like, my favorite one is called The Keeping Room, that the two headmistresses of the orphanage sing. It's really fun to listen to, and the orphans are, like, so scared. It's just, like, it seems, like, scary, but it's just really fun to listen to.
Oh, it sounds great. So one last question for Julie. So this is a children's theater. So some of our theater companies are open to adults as well, but this is for...
So, yes, all the performers will be students. There's another group in town, Latitude 58, and we're good friends with them, and they do some really great intergenerational theater, so that'd be a good opportunity for families that want to perform together. But this is exclusively for students, and we're going to have a lot of classes involved as we continue to grow as a company, where students can learn to develop their skills in technical theater as well as performing, all the elements that go into it, maybe doing some writing and so on. So that's going to be our emphasis as we grow.
That sounds great. So Northern Lights Junior Theater is back after a little hiatus. They're doing the Christmas stall. You could follow them on Facebook. Auditions are next week. Thank you so much, ladies,
for
coming in today.
All right. Bye-bye.
programming is brought to you in part by Good Hardware True Value, a year-round source for electrical, lawn, and plumbing needs. Good Hardware True Value, located under the True Value sign in the Foodland Shopping Center. More information at 586-2555.
You've been listening to Juno Afternoon live from Alaska's capital city. It's 3:57 p.m. Scott Burden was the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis. I was your host today. We chatted with Annie from Jay Alaska Cooking School. We also talked about Above and Beyond's kayak sale, which is happening this Saturday at Auk Bay. Then we talked with Wild Oven owner Daniel Martin about his alter ego, the Blues Man and the Blues Dance Man. And there's lots going on. You could look that up on Facebook as far as Blues Borealis this weekend. And then Julie Copins was here of Northern Lights Children's Theater with Elsie Copins, and they talked about the Christmas doll, hence the Christmas music in September. So today, right now, chance of rain and southeast wind, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, chance of rain as well. Thursday, cloudy, chance of rain. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, lows around 47. Friday, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain. Juneau Airport, it is 46 degrees. Downtown Juneau, 49 at the moment. And Mendenhall Valley is 44. Thank you for joining us. All Things Considered is next.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable, on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.